Nama Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, The Creation of the Fourth Order, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Four Kumaras, Part 4, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. So the idea is that even if a person is very exalted and knows everything, before one's superior, one should present questions. For instance, although Arjuna knew all the transcendental science, he questioned Krishna as if he did not know. So sometimes, great personalities put themselves in that position and inquire from a higher authority, because they are always thinking of the benefit of others. Therefore, questions put by a saintly person to another saintly person about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or about the ultimate goal of life, surcharge everything spiritually. And whoever takes advantage of such discussions is benefited both in this life and in the next. The word Ubayesham can be described in many ways. Generally, there are two classes of men, the materialist and the transcendentalist. By hearing discussions between devotees, both the materialist and the transcendentalist are benefited. The materialist is benefited by association with devotees, because one's life then becomes regulated so that one's chance of becoming a devotee or making the present life successful for understanding the real position of the living entity is therefore increased. And when one takes advantage of this opportunity, one is assured of a human form of life in one's next birth, or one may even be liberated completely and go back home, back to Godhead. The conclusion is that if one participates in a discussion of devotees, he or she is both materially and spiritually benefited. The speaker and the audience are both benefited, and the karmis and gyanis are benefited as well. The discussion of spiritual matters amongst devotees is beneficial for everyone without exception. As silver becomes shiny by being polished, the heart of a materialistic person is cleansed of lusty desires by the good association of devotees. Actually, the living being has no connection with this material enjoyment, nor with lusty desires. One is simply imagining or dreaming while asleep. But by the association of pure devotees, one is awakened, and immediately the spirit soul is situated in her own glory by understanding her constitutional position as the eternal servant of the Lord. This is why Nirantara Das says in his song, "Let's Get Woke." The process of hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord is the only means to clarify the heart of material contamination. By the process of karma, jnana, and yoga, no one will succeed in driving away contamination from the heart. But once a person takes to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord by devotional service, automatically all dirty things in the heart are removed without difficulty. The ultimate goal of life is described in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 2, Parang Drishtva Nivartate. When one finds out the supreme goal of life, one naturally becomes detached from the bodily concept of life. Those who are attached to the impersonal form of Brahman cannot remain attached for very long. Therefore, impersonalists, after rejecting this world as mithya or false, they come down again to this jagan mithya, although they take sannyas in order to increase their attachment for Brahman. And similarly, many yogis who are attached to the localized aspect of Brahman, known as Param Atma, great sages like Vishvamitra, also fall down as victims of woman. Therefore, increased attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is advised in all shastras, and that is the only way of detachment from material existence, and is explained in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2 as Parang Drishtva Nivartate. One can cease material activities only when one actually has a taste for devotional service. The word Yogeshvara is applicable to both the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and Krishna's devotees also. In Bhagavad Gita, this word occurs in two places. In chapter 18, Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is master of all mystic power. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna. Yogeshvara is also described at the end of chapter 6. Same Yukta Tamo Mata. Yukta Tama indicates the topmost of all yogis, the devotees, who can also be called Yogeshvara. The conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one has to increase conviction about devotional service. Then it will be very easy to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Things are degraded to such an extent at the present moment that those who are supposed to be religious are also interested only in sense gratification. The number of materialistic persons in this age of Kali has increased more than in any other age. Therefore, persons who are interested in going back home, back to Godhead, should not only engage in the service of realized souls, but should give up the company of materialistic persons as well, because their only aim is to earn money and employ it in sense gratification. Persons interested in going back to Godhead should also not accept the objectives of materialistic persons, namely money and sense gratification. Therefore, it is stated in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhakti Pareshanubhavo Viraktir Anyatracha. To advance in devotional service, one should be uninterested in the materialistic way of life. That which is the subject matter of satisfaction for the devotees is of no interest to the non-devotees. The purport is that one cannot live outside the society of devotees. One must live in the association of devotees, where there is constant chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord, if one wants to go back home, back to Godhead. And so, the Krishna consciousness movement is started for this purpose. so that hundreds of ISKCON centers may give people a chance to hear and chant, to accept the spiritual master, and to disassociate themselves from persons who are materially interested. For in this way, one can make solid advancement in going back home, back to Godhead. Suhridda Sarva Dehinam. A true devotee is the friend of all living entities. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna claims that he is the father of all the species of living entities. Consequently, the devotee of Krishna is always a friend of all. This is called ahimsa. Such nonviolence can be practiced only when we follow in the footsteps of great acharyas. Therefore, according to our Vaishnava philosophy, we have to follow the great acharyas of the four sampradayas or disciplic successions. Trying to advance in spiritual life outside the disciplic succession is simply ludicrous. Therefore, it is said, Acharyavan Purusho Veda. One who follows the disciplic succession of acharyas knows things as they are. Tad vijnanartham sa gurum eva vigacchet. In order to understand the transcendental science, one must approach the bona fide spiritual master. The word smritya is very important in spiritual life. Smritya means remembering Krishna always. So, life should be molded in such a way that one cannot remain alone without thinking of Krishna. We should live in Krishna so that while eating, sleeping, walking, and working, we remain only in Krishna. Our Krishna Consciousness Society recommends that we arrange our living so that we can remember Krishna. In our ISKCON Society, the devotees, while engaged in making spiritual sky incense, are also hearing about the glories of Krishna or his devotees. The Shastra recommends Smartavyak Satatam Vishnu. Lord Vishnu should be remembered always, constantly. This Smartavyona Jatuchit. Vishnu should never be forgotten. That is the spiritual way of life. Smritya. This remembrance of the Lord can be continued if we hear about Krishna constantly. It is therefore recommended Mukunda Charitagnya Sidhuna. Sidhu means nectar. To hear about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita or similar authentic literature is to live in Krishna consciousness. Such concentration in Krishna consciousness can be achieved by persons who are strictly following the rules and regulative principles. We have recommended in our Krishna consciousness movement that a devotee chant 16 rounds on beads daily and also follow the regulative principles. That will help the devotee to be fixed in one's spiritual advancement in life. Another important point mentioned in this connection is anindaya. We should not criticize others' methods of religion. There are different types of religious systems operating under different qualities of material nature. Those operating in the modes of ignorance and passion cannot be as perfect as that system in the mode of goodness. In Bhagavad Gita, everything has been divided into three qualitative divisions. Therefore, religious systems are similarly categorized. When people are mostly under the modes of passion and ignorance, their system of religion will be of the same quality. Therefore, a devotee, instead of criticizing such systems, will encourage the followers to stick to their own principles so that gradually they may come to the platform of religion in goodness. Simply by criticizing them, a devotee's mind will become agitated. Thus, a devotee should tolerate and learn to stop such agitation. Another feature of the devotee is nirihaya, simple living. Niriha means gentle, meek, or simple. The devotee should not live very gorgeously and imitate a materialistic person. Plain living and high thinking are recommended for the devotee. One should accept only so much as he or she needs just to keep the material body fit for the execution of devotional service. One should not eat or sleep more than what is required. Simply eating for living and not living for eating, and sleeping only 6 to 7 hours a day, are principles to be followed by devotees. As long as the body is there, it is subjected to the influence of climatic changes, disease, and natural disturbances, which are the threefold miseries of material existence. We cannot avoid them. Sometimes we receive letters from neophyte devotees questioning why they have fallen sick, although they are pursuing Krishna consciousness. They should learn from this section of Srimad Bhagavatam that they have to become tolerant, dvandva tatikshaya. After all, this is the world of duality. So one should not think that because he or she has fallen sick, that one has fallen from Krishna consciousness. No, Krishna consciousness can continue without impediment from any material opposition. Lord Sri Krishna therefore advises in Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, Tams Titikshasva Bharata, O my dear Arjuna, please try to tolerate all these disturbances. Be fixed in your Krishna conscious activities. It is said that both the Jiva Atma, or individual soul, and the Paramatma, the superior soul, live together within the heart. In the Vedic version, it is stated, Hridihi Ayam Atma. The soul and the super soul both live within the heart. The individual soul becomes liberated when she comes out of the material heart or cleanses the heart in order to make it spiritualized. The example given by Sanat Kumara is very appropriate. Yonim iva uttata agni. Agni or fire comes out of wood, and by the fire, the wood is completely destroyed. Similarly, when a living entity increases attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he or she is to be considered like fire. A blazing fire is visible by its exhibition of heat and light. Similarly, when the living entity within the heart becomes enlightened with full spiritual knowledge and detached from the material world, one burns up one's material covering of the five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and sky, and then becomes free from the five kinds of material attachments, namely ignorance, false egoism, attachment to the material world, envy, and absorption in material consciousness. Therefore, Pancha Atmakam, as mentioned by Sanat Kumara, refers to either the five elements or the five coverings of material contamination. And when these are all burned into ashes by the blazing fire of knowledge and detachment, one is fixed firmly in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But unless one takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and advances one's attraction for Krishna by the instructions of the spiritual master, then the five coverings of the living entity cannot be uncovered from the material heart. The living entity is centered within the heart, and to take her away from the heart is to liberate her. This is the process. One must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, and by his instruction, increase one's knowledge in devotional service, become detached from the material world, and thus become liberated. An advanced devotee, therefore, does not live within the material body, but within one's spiritual body. Just as a dry coconut lives detached from the coconut husk, even though within the husk. The pure devotee's body is therefore called Chinmaya Sharira, spiritualized body. In other words, a devotee's body is not connected with material activities, and as such, the devotee is always liberated, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, as confirmed in the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And Srila Rupa Goswami also confirms this, Iha Yasya Harer Dasye, Karmana Manasa Gira, Nikilasu Api Avastasu, Jivan Mukta Sa Uchyate. Whatever one's condition may be, one who is engaged fully with body, mind, and speech in the service of the Lord is to be considered liberated, even though living within the material body. The example was already given above. The coconut, which is dry, is loosened from its outward husk. This is the stage of liberation. As stated in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, mukti, liberation, means swarupena vyavastati, being situated in one's own original constitutional position. All material desires are present as long as one is in the bodily concept of life. But when one realizes that he or she is an eternal servant of Krishna, one's desires are no longer material. The devotee acts in this consciousness. In other words, when material desires in connection with the body are finished, then one is actually liberated. While in the conditioned state, there are two kinds of activities. One acts on behalf of the body, and at the same time, one acts to become liberated. The devotee, when completely free from all material desires or all material qualities, transcends the duality of action for the body and the soul. Then the bodily concept of life is completely over. The activities performed by karmis and jnanis are subject to lamentation and illusion. But a self-realized liberated person, acting only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, experiences none of such lamentation or illusion. This is the stage of oneness or merging into the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This means that the individual soul, while keeping his or her individuality, no longer has any separate interest from the Lord. One is thus fully in the service of the Lord and has nothing to do for one's own personal sense gratification. One therefore sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not one's self. One's personal interest completely perishes. It is just like when a person comes out of a dream, the dream vanishes. While dreaming, the person may consider oneself a king and see the royal paraphernalia, the soldiers, etc. But when the dream is over, one does not see anything beyond oneself. So similarly, a liberated person understands that one is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, acting in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. And as such, there is no distinction between oneself and the Supreme Lord, although both of them retain their individuality. As long as one is covered by material desires, one thinks oneself the master or the enjoyer. Thus, one acts for sense gratification and becomes thus subjected to material pangs, happiness, and distress. But when one is freed from such a concept of life, one is no longer subjected to designations, and one envisions everything as spiritual in connection with the Supreme Lord. The spirit soul is one, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is manifest in Swangsha and Vibhinangsha expansions. The jivas are Vibhinangsha expansions. The different incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are Swangsha expansions. Thus, there are different potencies of the Supreme Lord, and there are different expansions of His different potencies. In this way, for different reasons, there are different expansions of the same one principle, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This understanding is real knowledge. But when the living entity is covered by upadhi, or a designated body, then one sees differences, exactly as one sees differences in reflections of oneself on water, on oil, or in a mirror. When something is reflected on the water, it appears to be moving. When it is reflected on ice, it appears fixed. When it is reflected on oil, it appears hazy. The subject is one, but under different conditions, it appears differently. When the qualifying factor is taken away, the whole appears to be one. In other words, when one comes to the Paramahansa, or perfectional stage of life, by practicing bhakti yoga, one sees only Krishna everywhere. For such a person, there is no other objective. One who is actually learned sees only the living entity and not the outward covering or the body. Differentiation is therefore the result of different karma or fruitive activities. And when we stop fruitive activities, turning them into acts of devotion, then we can understand we are not different from anyone else, regardless of the bodily form. But this is only possible in Krishna consciousness. So in this movement of ISKCON, there are many different races of men from all parts of the world participating. But because they think of themselves as servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, They do not differentiate between black and white, yellow and red. The Krishna consciousness movement is therefore the only means to make the living entity free of all designations. In this section, Sanat Kumara very nicely explained how one's original Krishna consciousness becomes polluted, and gradually we become almost completely forgetful of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. When the mind is allowed to think of sense gratification continuously, it becomes the cause of our material bondage. If our mind is simply filled with sense gratification, even though we may want Krishna consciousness, by such continuous practice, we cannot forget the subject matter of sense gratification. The material desire for sense enjoyment is the cause of one's fall down into this material world, and thus we suffer the threefold miseries and continuous birth, death, old age, and disease. However, if we turn our desires toward the transcendental loving service of the Lord, then our desires become purified. We cannot kill desires. We have to purify them of different designations. If we constantly think of being a member of a particular nation, society, or family, and continuously think about these things, we then become very strongly entangled in the conditioned life of birth and death. But if our desires are applied to the service of the Lord, they become purified, and thus we become immediately freed from all material contamination. The living entity, the soul, is ever existing and eternal. It cannot be lost. But learned scholars say that the soul is lost when actual knowledge is not working, and that is the difference between animals and human beings. According to less intelligent philosophers, animals have no soul, but factually animals do have souls. Due to the animal's gross ignorance, however, it appears that they have lost their souls. Without the soul, a body cannot move. That is the difference between a living body and a dead body. When the soul is out of the body is called dead. The soul is said to be lost when there is no proper knowledge exhibited. One's original consciousness is Krishna consciousness, because we are part and parcel of Krishna. When this consciousness is misguided, and one is put into the material atmosphere which pollutes our original Krishna consciousness, one thinks that he or she is a product of the material elements. One thus loses one's real remembrance of one's original position as part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, just like a sleeping man who forgets himself. In this way, when the activities of proper consciousness are checked or stymied, all the activities of the lost soul are performed on a false basis. At the present moment, human civilization is acting on a false platform of bodily identification. Therefore, it can be said that the people of the present age, Kali, have lost their souls, and in this respect, they are no better than animals. However, when one becomes more interested in the body and bodily sense gratification, one simply creates obstructions for oneself on the path of self-realization. By the influence of Maya, one becomes more interested in sense gratification, which is prohibited in this world, for those interested in self-realization. So, instead of becoming interested in sense gratification, one should divert one's activities to satisfy the senses of the Supreme Soul, Rishikesha. Anything performed contrary to this principle is certainly against one's own self-interest. Moksha, or liberation, has to be taken very seriously, even at the sacrifice of the other three items, because they are all material. Those three items are dharma, religion, artha, economic development, and kama, sense gratification. All of these are subject to destruction. The purport is that we can sacrifice our interest in Trivargya, religious principles, economic development, and sense gratification. But we cannot sacrifice the cause of liberation. Therefore, we should not stress pious activities, economic development, and sense gratification, but we should concern ourselves with approaching Lord Vishnu in his spiritual planets, of which the topmost is Goloka Vrindavan, where Lord Krishna lives. Therefore, this Krishna consciousness movement is the greatest gift for persons who are actually desiring liberation. The words Isha Vidvangsita Shisham indicate that all material blessings will be destroyed by the Supreme Controller. We will not be protected. Our bodies, either in this planet or in another planet, will be destroyed, and again we will have to remain for millions of years in an unconscious state within the body of Mahavishnu. And again, when the creation is manifest, we have to take birth in different species of life and once again begin our activities. Therefore, we should not be satisfied simply by promotion to the higher planetary systems. We should try to get out of the material cosmic manifestation and go to the spiritual world to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is our highest achievement. We should not be attracted by anything material, higher or lower, but should consider them all on the same level. For our real engagement should be in inquiring about the real purpose of life and rendering devotional service to the Lord. Thus, we will be eternally blessed in our spiritual activities, full of knowledge and bliss. When everything becomes grossly animalistic, dissolution takes place. This dissolution is to be accepted as Isha Vidvangsita Shisham. The Lord's so-called blessings of economic development and sense gratification will all be conclusively dissolved by destruction. We should therefore know that our material activities are just like childish play. Children may play on the beach, and the father will sit and watch this childish play, the construction of buildings with sand, the construction of walls, and so many things. But finally, the father will ask the children to come home, and then everything is destroyed. Persons who are too much addicted to the childish activities of economic development and sense gratification are sometimes especially favored by the Lord when Krishna destroys their construction of these things. It is said by Lord Krishna himself, Yasyaham anugranami harishye tad dhanam shanai. Krishna told Yudhishthir Maharaj that his special favor is shown to the devotee when Krishna takes away all of the devotee's material opulences. Generally, therefore, it is experienced that Vaishnavas are not very opulent in the material sense. When the Vaishnava, the pure devotee, tries to become materially opulent and at the same time desires to serve the Supreme Lord, one's devotional service is checked. The Lord, in order to show the devotee special favor, destroys his or her so-called economic development and material opulences. The devotee, thus, being frustrated in repeated attempts at economic development, ultimately takes solid shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. This kind of action may also be accepted as Isha Vidvangsita Shisham, whereby the Lord destroys one's material opulences but enriches one in spiritual understanding. In the course of our ISKCON preaching work, we sometimes see that materialistic persons come to us and offer obeisances in order to take blessings, which means they want more and more material opulences. If such material opulences are checked, such persons are no longer interested in offering obeisances to the devotees. Such materialistic persons are always concerned about their economic development. They offer obeisances to saintly persons or even the Supreme Lord and give something in charity for preaching work with a view that they will be rewarded with further economic development. Because the Lord does not give blessings of material opulence to His devotee, people are afraid of worshipping Lord Vishnu because they see that the Vaishnavas, who are worshippers of Lord Vishnu, are poor in superficial material opulences. Such materialistic persons, however, get immense opportunity for economic development by worshipping Lord Shiva. For Lord Shiva is the husband of the goddess Durga, the proprietor of this universe. And by the grace of Lord Shiva, his devotee gets the opportunity to be blessed by the goddess Durga. For example, Ravana was a great worshipper and devotee of Lord Shiva, and in return, Ravana got all the blessings of goddess Durga, so much so that his whole kingdom was constructed of golden buildings. The Lord does not bestow material blessings upon the devotees, for they may become entrapped once again in this material world by continuous birth, death, old age, and disease. Due to materialistic opulences, persons like Ravana become puffed up for sense gratification. Ravana even dared to kidnap Sita, who was both the wife of Lord Ramachandra and the goddess of fortune. Ravana was thinking that he would be able to enjoy the pleasure potency of the Lord. But actually, by such action, Ravana became vidvangsita, or ruined. At the present moment, human civilization is too much attached to economic development and sense gratification, and is therefore nearing the path of ruination. Unless the Lord is superior to the individual soul, then there is no question of prapadye, or surrender unto Krishna. This word, prapadye, refers to the process of devotional service. The waves of a river flow incessantly, and it is very difficult to stop such waves. Similarly, the waves of desire for material enjoyment are so strong that they cannot be stopped by any process other than bhakti yoga. Jnanis and yogis who are not attached to the lotus feet of the Lord simply struggle against the waves of desire. They are described here as rikta mataya, which means devoid of devotional service, devoid of bhakti. In other words, the jnanis and yogis, although trying to become free from the desires of material activities, actually become more and more entangled in false philosophical speculation or strenuous attempts to stop the activities of the senses. As long as one continues to artificially try to stop the waves of desires, one will certainly be defeated. That is indicated in this section. Desires for fruitive activities are strongly rooted, but the trees of desire can be uprooted completely by bhakti, devotional service, because devotional service employs superior desire. One can give up inferior desires only when engaged in superior desires. To try to stop desires is impossible. One has to desire the supreme in order not to be entangled in inferior desires. One should therefore take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord instead of trying unsuccessfully to stop desires for material enjoyment. As long as one is unable to stop the desires for material enjoyment, there is no possibility of becoming liberated from the entanglement of material existence. It may be argued that the waves of a river are incessantly flowing and that they cannot be stopped, but the waves of the river flow toward the sea. When the tide comes over the river, it overwhelms the flowing of the river, and the river itself becomes overflooded, and the waves from the sea become more prominent than the waves from the river. Similarly, the devotee with intelligence plans so many things for the service of the Lord in Krishna consciousness, which makes these stagnant material desires become overflooded by the desire to serve the Lord. The conclusion is that by developing a loving desire for the service of the lotus feet of the Lord, we thus subdue all material desires for sense gratification. Material existence is compared herein by Sanat Kumara to the great ocean of nescience. Another name of this ocean is Vaitarani. And in that Vaitarani ocean, which is the causal ocean, there are innumerable universes floating just like footballs. On the other side of the ocean is the spiritual world of Vaikuntha, which is described in Bhagavad Gita chapter 8 as Parastasmat tu bhava anya. Thus, there is an ever-existing spiritual nature which is beyond this material nature. Even though all the material universes are annihilated again and again in the causal ocean, the Vaikuntha planets, which are spiritual, exist eternally and are not subject to dissolution. Recorded October 27, 2023 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varad Hari Jasodanandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jasodanandana Gopi Jana Ranjana Jamunatira Vanachari Yashomati Nandana Vrajabara Nagara Gokula Ranjana Kanna Gopi Parana Dana Madana Manohara Kaliya Damana Vidhana Amala Harinam Amiya Tilaka Amala Harinam Amiya Tilaka Vipinna Purandara Navina Garapoda Vanshi Badana Suvata Braja Jana Palana Sura Kula Nashana Nanda Kodhana Rakhwala Govinda Madhava Navanika Taskara Sundarananda Gopala Yamuna Tatachara Gopi Vasanahara Rasa Rasika Kripamoya Shri Radha Vallabha Vrindavanatavada Bhakti Vinod Asraya Nirantara Dasa Ashraya Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Radha Ramana Hari, Govinda Jaya Jaya. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Rama Sri Madhusudana. Gopala Govinda Rama Sri Madhusudana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Amala Hari Nam, Amiya Vilasa. Amala Hari Nam, Amiya Vilasa. Jayatam Suratau Pangor Mama Manda Matergati Mat Sarvasva Padam Bojao Radha Madana Mohanao.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Nama Eva Kevalam.